Socialism only works in two places, heaven, where they don't need it, and hell, where they already have it. The words of our former president, Ronald Reagan, who was a master of the euphemism, was he not? I loved that Reagan personality. One Bernie Sanders believes deeply in socialism, however, Reagan notwithstanding. Bernie Sanders is a socialist, and he's proud of it. For some longtime Americans, hearty believers in capitalism, it's really hard to believe that the great state of Vermont would elect an avowed and open socialist as senator. But they did. The people did, and here he comes from Vermont, a force indeed on the American political scene and, of course, the Democratic Party. Sanders, like Trump, pulls no punches. He is aggressive, confrontational, and determined. Clinton never took him seriously, but now she does, and so do the Democrats. Sanders and Trump are very similar, at least in one respect. Each is a catalyst, an outsider, so each says. Each is tired of Washington as is. Both political establishments, the good old boys who run both parties, and the same old in the District of Columbia, including that hated word compromise and political inaction. You're not going to get a whole lot of compromise out of Trump or Sanders, are you? Trump has been robust in his strong criticism of the Republican Party, from party chairman Reince Priebus all the way down. Trump has disposed of his two main competitors, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, at least in part because he has successfully labeled them as part of the establishment. The Washington establishment, especially as it is, has been the target of both candidates, and at least in the case of Trump, the majority of American primary voters, angry and discontent, agree. Many Democrats and independents and even some Republicans on the edge agree with Sanders, who wants change, real, radical change, even more so than Obama, and more change, he says, than Hillary Clinton will bring to the presidency. Trump has captured the Republican Party and seems an absolute certainty to get the nomination, while Sanders battles on, never giving up, and promises to fight through and including the Democratic Convention. Clinton, once dismissive of Sanders, now pays serious attention to this formidable foe, eager to criticize her and, of course, beat her. Bernie Sanders is on record as having stated that Hillary Clinton is not qualified to be president, especially because she voted for the Iraq War. He asked bluntly the Democratic establishment, against which he rails constantly, to essentially overturn the will of Democratic voters. Sounds a little bit like Trump, does it not? If it comes to that, that is, those who have cast more votes for Mrs. Clinton than for him, and vote for him. Wow, that's a bold move indeed, don't you think? Sanders is loud and shrill, sort of Trump-lite, which led then the leader of the liberal group MoveOn.org, remember them, to state the following. It's time for Senator Sanders to tone it down and stop criticizing her, that is Clinton. Wow, I thought the Democrats were all for having at 'em. And others agree in the Democratic Party and Democrats at large, but Sanders, not intimidated, sounds like Trump, doesn't it? Rails on, like Trump. In fact, Sanders refers to the Washington District of Corruption and its political stalemates as a Congress and a president which has produced a steady state of sludge. That's a good one. A steady state of sludge. Time for more change. More radical change, says Bernie. More radical than Obama and much, much more radical than Clinton will bring to the presidency, so he says. At the very least, Sanders has indeed energized the Democratic Party, which 6 short months ago was nothing more than Hillary. In fact, Sanders' popularity has pushed the supposedly center-leftist Clinton further left, and in some cases much further to the left, perhaps with an eye on some of the tenets of socialism. Ooh, boy. Trying her best to neutralize, at least to some extent, the senator from Vermont. A voter can only wonder how much more the government can do. How much more left can we go? How much more can the government provide and support and entitle? A shocking fact is that 50%, let me say that again, 50% of we the people are subsidized in some way, large or small, by federal or state governments. 50%. One out of two of us. And those subsidies and entitlements include the following: Social Security, and Medicare, and Medicaid, and unemployment insurance, and Obamacare, and education, among others. No matter such socialism at work, Sanders wants more. More! More change to the left. Things more radical, anti-capitalism, greater government control of this country's and consequently the world's finances. Something more than Obama, different than Obama, who comes at least in part from some of the most radical, progressive, and socialistic thinking ever in the form of his mentor Saul Alinsky. Clinton, on the other hand, seems anxious to continue what Obama has started, and in fact, emphasizes current Democrat Obama policies and principles, at best promising to push them left, well, at least to some extent, and at least if it helps her get elected, though not as much as Sanders. If Bernie Sanders were elected president, we the people would not recognize our country in 4 years. We would indeed turn from a democracy to a nation fundamentally socialistic, and permanently so. Permanently. We ain't coming back if Bernie Sanders is elected. Ronald Reagan reminds us again that socialism only works in two places: heaven, where they don't need it, and hell, where they already have it. What do you think about Bernie Sanders and Sanders versus Clinton? What do you think about ever-growing socialism in America, and what America should be for your future and the future of your children and grandchildren? What do you think? Sanders has said that if he wins the Democrat nomination for president, he would seriously consider, even like, to nominate Elizabeth Warren, senator from Massachusetts, as his running mate. Warren is deeply progressive, liberal, radical. And what a socialist pair they would be. Clinton, on the other hand, has said nothing about a running mate, due in part to the fact that she cannot be sure of the nomination at this point. Probably, but not for certain. We have a fascinating political 6 months ahead of us, do we not, my fellow Americans? 4 of those months will likely see a battle royale between Clinton and Trump for the most important position in the entire world. That will be something. Assuming those choices, who would you vote for? And more importantly, why? Trump or Clinton? But back to Bernie Sanders. What exactly does Bernie believe? Of course, he is socialistic to the core, but how would our constitutional rights, our blessed freedoms, and our amendments be changed? How? 9 out of 10 Americans think that the most important issue facing America is the economy. The economy. Still the same. It's been that way for years and years and years. And employment. And jobs. And bringing jobs back to America from overseas. Sanders responds, claiming that as many as 20 million high-paying jobs must be brought back to America. 20 million high-paying jobs. Wow. Didn't know it was that high. So that, in Bernie's words, the American middle class will not be destroyed. Destroyed. Sanders goes on to state the following: in Vermont and throughout the country, it is not uncommon for people to be working 2 or 3 jobs just to cobble together enough income to survive on and some health care benefits. Wow, I wonder if that's really true. If it is, it's a startling fact. Sanders believes strongly in unions and protectionism and rails against free trade, which provides far too many benefits for foreign countries, he says, robbing America of jobs and employment opportunities. Well, there is some truth to that. Sanders rails against poverty. He criticizes Washington for producing phony numbers, politically driven, and especially with regard to unemployment. Yeah, well, there are a whole lot of people that agree with Bernie's statement that Washington produces phony numbers. No doubt about that. In that regard, Sanders states the following: the truth is that real unemployment is not the 5.4% you read in newspapers or from the government. It is close to 11%, says Bernie, if you include those workers who have given up looking for jobs or who are working part-time when they want to work full-time. Youth unemployment is over 17%, and this is a startling, awful fact. And African-American young unemployment is much higher than that. Oh, it's probably as much as 45%. Got a good point there, Bernie. So many Americans agree. The Washington establishment lies to we the people. Oh, from Obama on down, lie after lie after lie when it comes to the fundamental state of our economy, and especially unemployment and jobs. America, says Sanders, has 45 million people living in poverty. Wow. And that is below the poverty line in constant need of subsidy and support from governments, federal and state. That's probably very true. If Obama has been criticized for the redistribution of wealth, Sanders, on the other hand, would take it to the next level. Sanders goes further, stating that he has introduced legislation which would invest $1 trillion, that's trillion with a T, over 5 years to modernize our country's physical infrastructure and create, he says, Bernie says, 13 million good-paying jobs. By the way, he does not, however, bother to tell us how that $1 trillion would be raised or where it would come from. But, you know, he really doesn't have to, does he? You know where that money would come from. And Bernie Sanders would raise minimum wage to $15 per hour. That's so over the next several years. Our beloved state of California, for example, has already done that, raising the current minimum wage in escalated fashion over 5 years so that by 2022, its minimum wage will be $15 per hour. Many employers, large and small, recoil and fear a disastrous economic impact, greatly improving the cost of the production of goods and services, which, of course, will be paid for by the consumer. Doesn't matter to Bernie, so he presses on. The senator from Vermont promises to close the pay equity gap for women. He claims that women earn 78 cents on the dollar compared to men who perform the same work. I'm not sure that's true. He cites no facts or illustrations and promises to revise laws with respect to overtime, sick leave, and in novel fashion, guaranteed vacation time for all, full-time and part-time. Wow, would that cost a bundle? Sounds good, but again, he fails to tell us who will pay for all of this good stuff. Again, he doesn't have to. Even more, Sanders would expand Social Security and other safety nets. He would expand Social Security benefits and would have government providing universal pre-K education for all of the children of this country. But he doesn't stop there. He turns his attention to college education and states the following. That is why, as president, I will fight. Yeah, everybody's fighting. Why do politicians always fight? I will fight to make tuition in public colleges and universities free, as well as substantially lower interest rates on student loans. Just one question, Bernie. Who's going to pay for that? Student loans are, for example, already a mammoth expense, a serious debt burden for our country, and Sanders would expand that. Wow. The man sure likes to print money. And as with all socialists, Sanders then turns his attention to taxes. And, of course, the rich must pay more. Sanders recommends much higher taxes than even the radical Obama has. In at least one proposal, Sanders has suggested that the top income tax rate should be at or about 55% for individuals. And rather than lowering corporate tax rates, Sanders would increase them and would provide more taxes and penal legislation and regulations for corporations which move assets, jobs, or monies overseas, out of the country. Sanders then makes the audacious statement as follows. That is why we need a tax system which is fair and progressive, huh? Read drastically higher, which makes wealthy individuals and profitable corporations begin to pay their fair share of taxes. Oh, come on, Bernie. That stuff has been around for years and years and even decades. Don't you have anything new to say? But then he turns his attack attention on the banks, the big ones. Break them up, he says. Break up these financial casinos. The financial casinos, which gamble trillions in risky financial instruments, among others. Break them up. He says if a bank is too big to fail, it's too big to exist. Well, that's good. Sounds ominous for Wall Street, does it not? And away with free trade and the reintroduction of tariffs and protectionism, which Sanders claims will bring back 10 million jobs to the United States. No facts, no detail, just a big blanket statement. And even much more from him, much more. There is so much else out there that this man would do as president with our money. Much, much more of it. If Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, an avowed radical socialist, were elected president of the United States, America, as we now know it, would be gone with the wind. There are many, millions, who want that to happen. Surprisingly so. That just boggles my mind. And I ask you, are you one of those Americans? We have, for the first time perhaps ever in the history of our American politics, choices, real choices for our country. We have had in past elections conservatism light from the Republicans and liberalism light from the Democrats. Trump promises an energized and fundamentally changed republicanism. Conservatism only where it works, and Sanders promises aggressive socialism. Liberalism gone radical. Wow, they are extreme choices. So I ask you again, my fellow Americans, where do you stand? What do you think? What do you believe? And how will you vote? You will get much of socialism from Bernie Sanders and perhaps even some from Hillary Clinton. And again, you will get a brand new form of republicanism under Donald Trump. Real choices. And one or the other will be your choice in 2016, assuming that you vote for president, and I hope and pray you will. You know, more than ever, it is so critical that you, all of us, understand the issues, those issues which are far more important than either candidate, and how you will vote, not only for them, but for House and Senate as well. No matter what happens, we will have further change in this great country of ours with the ever-growing possibility of radical change, one way or the other. So, my fellow Americans, I plead with you, vote. You must vote. You cannot stay on the sidelines, for not to act, not to vote, is to act. It is your country, and perhaps for the last time, you may have a vote which either produces more radical change or a vote which causes America to change back. To change back. You now have, we now have, a republic driven by principles of democracy, if we, the people, can keep it. So, my fellow Americans, will you keep it or will you lose it?